I just want to speak to you very briefly this morning. Along the same basic path that we have been walking over the last few weeks, we've been looking at different scriptures based on the theme of the gifts of Bethlehem. The gifts of Bethlehem. But today, I want us to look at the great gift of a Savior that the angels heralded, and that after that, the shepherds sought out in the stable in Bethlehem. But when we think about that gift of a Savior, I want, first of all, for you to think a little bit about the wrapping of that gift, right? Because when we think about Christmas gifts, we think about the gifts that we have under the tree, right? If your home is like ours, there is a lot of agonizing and labor surrounding the wrapping of gifts. And if you're like me, the agonizing is the stress of just getting the gift wrapped and it not looking terrible, right? You look under our tree, the really shoddy looking gifts, come on, you want to wrap. However, there is a lot of thought that goes into the paper, the bows, the ribbons, and even making sure that all the gifts have enough different kinds of paper strewn about in different ways so that you don't have too many gifts touching each other that have the same kind of wrapping. Maybe that's not in your house, but it is in the living. Gotta make a good appearance around the tree. And there's nothing wrong with this, okay? There's nothing wrong with it, of course. But it's a stark contrast to Bethlehem's gift of the Savior. You see, as the Scripture tells us, Jesus was not wrapped in finery, was he? As precious as he was wrapped in common, plain rags. No colors, no ribbons, just rags. Also, he was not laid meticulously under a beautifully decorated and lit tree. He was laid in an animal's feeding trough. Likely in a dirty cave, which was a common place for stables where they kept animals in that time. So it was probably a pretty smelly place, not a place where you got much good airflow. But did this humble, plain, and unattractive wrapping in any way diminish the value or precious nature of the gift itself? No, it did not. Well, and also, instead of thinking about the wrapping of the gift, I want you to think about the gracious nature of that gift. So when we give or receive gifts, most of the gifts are given because of that other person's relationship to the giver, right? Now, there are some others that are given through some other obligation, you know, like a co-worker, you know, in your office. And you really may not even really like that co-worker very much, but they're part of the office, so you're supposed to give them some gift of some sort. And then there's the gift of charity to the poor and needy, right, that we all tend to do, you know, with Toys for Tots or Salvation Army or some other special gift that we do for somebody out of charity, which is a good thing. But we have to think about the fact that there is not one single person since Adam to whom that the gift of the Savior was given that deserved that gift. We can say, like, our children, you know, they deserve a gift from mom and dad, right? You know, they kind of expect You know? But there is not one single person since Adam that the gift of the Savior was given that deserved that gift, that had a right to it. In Romans, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ was born to fulfill the law for us and to die for us. We deserved neither of those things, yet there he lay in fulfillment of the long given promise of God. And that gift was given due to God's faithfulness, not ours. It was given due to our need, not his. Lastly, I want you to think about the eternal nature of that gift. Now, when we give a gift to someone, or we receive a gift at Christmas, those gifts may wear out very quickly. They may get used up or eaten within days or maybe even hours, minutes. Some may last months or even years. Some we may get tired of very quickly, you know. I don't know if you ever had those gifts that they seem pretty novel, but by about 2 in the afternoon on Christmas Day, you're like, I'm going to be done with this. In fact, I remember one particular gift that my brother and his wife, who had no children, gave to my children. They were these little fuzzy house shoes that made frog sounds every step they took. Those miraculously disappeared very quickly. But some may be keepsakes that get handed down for generations, literally generations. However, they will all eventually be used up, lost, worn out, given away or discarded, break, or just rust and disintegrate. It will all happen to every gift eventually. However, the gift that first Christmas, the gift of a Savior, is an eternal gift. For he came to purchase our salvation, not temporarily, but eternally. We are not redeemed for a moment, or for a day, or for a year, or even for our lifetime. Does our salvation end when we die? It does not. John 3:16 says that Jesus came so that those who believe in him will have what? Everlasting life. We are redeemed for eternity. There is no gift greater than that. It was a gift wrapped in rags in a trough, given undeservedly to people who were yet sinners. And it is a gift that will never end. There is no greater gift than that. So I encourage you today and throughout the remainder of this Christmas season to meditate on the greatest gift you have or ever will receive. The gift of the Savior. Let us pray. Father, so often these precious gifts are so taken for granted because we sing about it every year. Father, we sing about it every year because it is precious every year. Father, I pray that we will never lose sight of that. As we rejoice in our salvation every Sunday, as we meditate on it every day, Father, I pray that we will have that same thankfulness and gratitude as we should have today. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.